reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." Judas, not the Iscariot, said to Jesus, "Master, then what happened that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I've told you this while I'm with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything and remind you of all that I taught you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This fifth week of the Easter season can be called the week of the love of God. We're going to get in the end of chapter 14 and chapter 15 in St. John's Gospel the most beautiful passages on God's love for us in Jesus' own voice. It's important for us to recognize that at the end of today's reading, when Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, he talks about how the Holy Spirit will teach us everything and remind us of everything Jesus told us. That to be a Christian, to be a disciple, is to be a perpetual student, precisely in a school of divine love. God wants to teach us how to love, first how to receive the gift of his love, how to remain in it, and then how to share that gift. He's going to be teaching us throughout this week, and the Holy Spirit continues to teach us everything about it. So this week we're especially attentive. In today's passage, Jesus reveals the connection between love of him and keeping his commandments. When we love someone, we simply want to please them. And if Jesus made clear what does please him, those who love him seek to please him in this way. They do it not just because they have to as a divine imperative. They do it because they wholeheartedly want to, because they know this is part of their expression of love for the Lord. But Jesus also says something at first surprising. It seems here that he makes his love conditional. "Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." It seems that our love for Jesus precedes God the Father and God the Son's love for us. A little bit later, he says, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him." That keeping the word of the Lord out of love seems to be a precondition for God's loving us. Of course, that's not true. St. Paul would stress in his letter to the Romans that God loved us even while we were sinners, separated from him. Jesus has given us the beautiful parable of the prodigal son, which the father never ceased loving the son who had wandered away. St. John, in his first letter, talks about, "And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us, sent his son as an expiation for our sins." But we have to take Jesus' words and his sequencing seriously. Jesus was a clear teacher. What did he mean? Ultimately, if we're going to be able to receive the love of God, we have to open ourselves up to it precisely through loving. That if our heart is closed to the Lord's commandments, if our heart's closed to God's word, if our heart's closed to our neighbor, even if our heart's closed toward God, we're not going to be able to receive that love. You know, it's an interesting thing in priestly life, and I'm sure you see it even more than I do in your work with so many women who have been hurt. But if you're not open to love, no matter what others do, it's sometimes very difficult to crack through. And it's the same thing in our receptivity to God's love. If for whatever reason we're so focused on ourselves, on getting our own will, on doing things as we please, we're not really going to be open to receive the immeasurable love of the love of God. How do we grow in our receptivity then, so that we can experience evermore the love of God, so that Father and Son and the Holy Spirit can come and make their dwelling within us? Today and this week, we can focus on three ways. The first is humility. To be humble ultimately means that we seek to have God glorified rather than ourselves, that we want God to shine. Today in the first reading, we see the extraordinary humility of Paul and Barnabas after they had worked that extraordinary miracle to the man who was crippled. The Lycaonians had brought oxen to sacrifice to them, thinking that they were the pagan god Zeus and Hermes. Where'd that story come from? There in Lycaonia, centuries back, there was a story that had come down that Zeus and Hermes had visited their village, and nobody recognized them except the priest of the temple. And so Zeus and Hermes destroyed the city except that priest in the temple. And so they were always on the lookout thereafter to make sure that they wouldn't be blind and deaf when the gods visited their town anew. And so as soon as they witnessed this extraordinary miracle by these two visitors, they were not going to make the same mistake a second time. And so that's when they sprung into action. We know exactly what had happened to Paul and Barnabas by this time. They had had the fight there as soon as they landed in Asia about John Mark, Barnabas's nephew. They had to wade through a malaria-infested swamp. They had to climb up one of the most dangerous rock faces on Earth, where bandits themselves would hide. If anybody's ever driven the Amalfi Coast in Italy, where your car's literally like right on the seat of the cliff, and then Italian drivers are driving these trucks in the opposite direction, not really braking at you, you know exactly how dangerous these things can be. And it was even more dangerous for them. But finally they make it up to the top of the hill. And then, as we see, they go to Antioch and Pisidia, and after a week they were run out of town. Then at the beginning of today's reading, they were in Iconium, preaching again. But there was a conspiracy between the Jews and the Gentiles. Again, not a likely thing, but the Jews and the Gentiles together conspired to attack and stone Paul and Barnabas. So here they come to Lystra. And it would have been easy to understand that they could have taken a respite from so much criticism, from so much hatred, from so much rejection, that the worst thing that had happened to them couldn't have been that the people were actually elevating them rather than sort of treating them as people who need to be run out of town. But they didn't indulge that temptation at all. They ripped their garments, and using the arguments Paul himself would normally do with pagans, he starts from nature to help them to come to nature's God. They were humble enough to live what we prayed in the song, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give the glory." The extraordinary humility that makes us capable of receiving God's love. We don't think we're worthy of it, but it comes to us nonetheless. The second great lesson is about suffering. We will, paradoxically to worldly ideas, experience more of the love of God through suffering when we open ourselves in humility to be able to receive his ministrations through various instruments and directly, that we recognize when we're suffering that God has always been there at the times when we haven't been suffering but have taken it for granted. That's the suffering we'll see Paul and Barnabas endure throughout this week, as they were doing nothing other than trying to share with others the truth and the love of God. they were stoned here. Tomorrow, the same people who were about to sacrifice oxen to Paul and Barnabas stoned Paul and left him for dead. They suffered a lot, but in that, they were capable of receiving ever more the love of God. Ultimately, through these sufferings, St. Paul would be able to say that he had been crucified with Christ. And that crucifixion opened him up even more to the love of the crucified. Third and last means we'll focus on today is the gift of the Holy Spirit, the love between the Father and the Son, who seeks to bring us into that communion of love, to make our indwelling within the Trinity possible as Father and Son and Spirit come to seek to dwell in us. The Holy Spirit's great mission is to be that caritas, that love of God within us that then receives its response in our love for God back and our love for all those for whom God sent His Son as an expiation for their sins. Three ways: humility, an openness to suffering, and cooperation with the Holy Spirit. Today, as we celebrate this Mass, as we prepare to receive the Sacramentum Caritatis, the sacrament of the Lord's love, we are not worthy to receive this, as we'll pray. We bring and place on the paten not just our own personal sufferings, but the sufferings of the whole world. And as we await the Holy Spirit to come down, to change bread and wine into God and to change us into one body, one spirit in Christ, let us thank God for this work and let us ask Him to transform us by the one we're about to receive so that we might always give His name glory. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.